Hey, this is Karen. Thanks for joining me. I can't wait for you to meet my rock movers. What's a rock mover? A rock mover is a woman who does what others say is impossible. She achieves goals that were once only dreams. She's a mom, wife, sister, friend, CEO, or entrepreneur. And she is an all-around rock star in her world. While she's moving rocks out of her own bag, she's also helped moving the rocks for other women. And she's moving rocks for me. Join us as we introduce our rock movers.
You look beautiful.
Thank you. Okay, good morning, rock movers. I'm so excited about the interview that I get to share this morning with someone that I just know y'all are gonna love. This is my friend, Julie Norman. Julie is the co-founder of Ziegler Realty, the daughter of Zig Ziegler and Jean Ziegler. She owns a health and wellness business as well as being a trainer and coach for Ziegler Inc. She's also a public speaker and a nonprofit fundraiser speaker. She's an author and co-authored with her dad. And she was also her father's editor for 20 years. Beyond all of those amazing things, Julie is a mentor, a friend, and just someone that I treasure. And I just know that y'all are going to love her. So welcome, Julie, to my Rock Movers podcast, which is so weird that I get to interview you, but I'm so, so honored and excited to have you.
Thank you, Karen. I am delighted and honored that you invited me. I'm just thrilled to get to be a part of this, and I love what you're doing to help all these women and just encourage them the way you've encouraged so many others, and I appreciate you having me.
Well, it is my honor for sure, and we may have a little technical difficulties. Julie is now living in the country on the other side of Texas, so not in Alvord where she was before, so we may have a little technical issues, but we don't care. We are just so honored and happy to have you here that we just want to hear your voice and get to see your beautiful face as we get to learn more about you and I get to share who you are with the world, with my world. So we'll just jump right in. One of the first things okay. that I always ask my guest is, because we're the rock movers, we want to know, right. what are you doing to move the rocks in your life out of your bags? And then what are you doing now these days to help others move their rocks?
All right. Well, we all have rocks. Some of them are a lot bigger than others. And I'll go through some of the most recent rocks that I have moved. But, you know, every time you move a rock, there's a lot of this little residual pebbles that go with it. And I think the biggest thing I've done to move a huge rock from my life is I lost my husband 5.5 years ago. And I couldn't sell my house, excuse me, right away. I had to wait 4 years because we weren't able to probate. There really wasn't anything to probate. My husband was a precious man, but I won't go into, I will say the financial needs for me were great after he passed, and I had to figure out how to make more money. And besides just speaking, you know, speaking is seasonal. It's kind of in the fall, it's kind of in the spring, unless it's COVID, and then it's online. And that is just not the same the same career path exactly. But selling my house of over 21 years and moving all that stuff out, two dumpsters and a half, full to the brim to the top, stuff I threw out, I gave away everything else. And what I wanted and what I was seeking, because financial insecurity is a rock that burdens women in a far different way than it burdens men. And I knew that I needed to feel peace about finances and not have any concerns about, am I going to be able to make enough money? I've really worked for myself for, I think we started Norman Services Corporation, my husband and I, it was about 1987 or 8. And I've had that corporation ever since. And everything I've done, even with Ziegler Inc., they hired me to do it. But I had to sell that house to get the financial security I wanted. And it was just a big undertaking, a huge undertaking. And that was a huge rock. Organizationally, rock I'm trying to move right now is just getting all my paperwork organized since the move, and because I've started a new business since I've gotten here entirely. So there have been a lot of big changes fortunately are something I'm good with. But what I help other women move in their rocks is just, I like to encourage them to not be afraid to move forward and try new things and to let go of the things that are holding them back. And especially spiritual things. If I see that a woman consistently is making choices that God's real clear in the scripture about, and I know that his scriptures are to protect us and to make our lives whole and better, then I will share. You know, if we can, this part of your choice making, and if you can be pleasing to God, make pleasing him your top priority in your life, and being obedient, and I'm not talking about, it's not that you have to give up stuff that you, it's not given, the only stuff you're giving up is the stuff that pulls you down, because he doesn't ask us to give away the things or undo the things that are really good for us. So I just help women see more clearly their best choices. I think that's a better way to say it. Yeah.
I think that's a great way to say it, because that's exactly who you've been for me. And you always do it in such a loving way that it never comes across as judgmental or as if you're looking down on anyone. It's always as if you're reaching a hand out to help someone up. And
thank you.
I think that's the big difference that maybe some of us might be missing, is that message may come across as judgmental or, you know, I'm mm-hmm. better than you, so you should do this. And I think you have mastered the art of not doing that and just coming across with such love and just that spirit of, I'm here to come alongside you and help you. And because I love you, you know, this is where I see I can help, and this is where you can grow. Never it's, you know, you need to change because you're not good enough. And that's, I think, instrumental in your success with women, because you always do that. You're so good at that.
Well, Karen, it's easy if you have been kind of like Paul and you've actually, you're asking people to give up the things that you also had to give up in order to have true peace in your life. Because I'm not going to say I was the worst sinner that ever lived, but I certainly have a huge long checklist. And unfortunately, I relate to almost every single person. I don't care if it's weight, it's alcohol, it's, you know, you name it, honey. I will never judge. I've been there most of the time. I've already been there. So,
appreciate that so much about you, and maybe those that don't know your story, you know, they haven't heard you speak, they may not know those things about you, or have heard, you know, where you come from to where you are, and how God has used those parts of your ministry and your story to minister to others and encourage others. Can you share a little bit, just maybe a little bit brief, about, you know, how that story has impacted you and kind of where you were, where you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had a really happy, normal childhood till I was 13 and Dad moved us to Dallas, Texas from Columbia, South Carolina. Regular, just happy in school, involved, student council, all that. Moved to Dallas, did not fit in, got in with the wrong crowd. I had a secret life because my father was very positive, always a great dad, very encouraging. My mom, I had a as good a home life as you can imagine. Just awesome parents. But I was super busy, always, still am. And I worked from the age of 14 because I liked having my own money and I had to pay for stuff. Mom and Dad didn't just hand us everything. But I had a secret life, and it had to do with I just couldn't say no to boys. And I mean, they were boys. I was a girl, a young girl, if they wanted anything physically from me. And I used to cry and say, oh, you know, God help me say no. I didn't know how. Years later, I learned it was because I'd been molested when I was 9, sworn to secrecy. You know, you never know how that affects you until many, many years later. So that was a big, big part of that. And I became a believer in Christ when I was 17. I went to Bill Gothard Youth Conflict Seminar, and it was very real. Within a week of just having come to Christ and being, never felt such love in my life, I fell sexually. I thought, now I knew I'd broken his heart, and before I hadn't. And I felt, I didn't know enough about him or faith. My dad wasn't a Christian in those early years. And I just thought Jesus would never have anything to do with me again. So I was lost in that place, you know, and I was re-breaking his heart. But so then it led to an early young marriage, man twice my age, trying to get over the it's wrong to do this before you're married. I'd secretly live with him. If I married him, maybe it would make it okay. Abusive relationship, 3 years later, out with a little girl. And then I got pregnant by a man I barely knew, one night stand type of thing. And I chose abortion because I got involved real early because of my sexual adventures, I'll call them, or misadventures. And I had been taught, you know, this is an option. And because it was legal at that time, I really didn't give it a second thought. And I wouldn't give it much thought at all. I just knew I couldn't embarrass my father, who at that time was the leader of a Sunday school class of over 300, First Baptist, biggest church, Baptist church in the world. And I just couldn't shame. I just couldn't shame him. And also already had this little girl I was supporting on my own. I didn't know how on earth I was going to provide. A lot of the reasons you hear women give for that choice. But the moment I made that choice was when my alcoholism started keeping alcohol under the sink. I had no idea the depression that came over me was a result of the abortion, because how do you grieve a baby you've never even allowed yourself to think about? And yet every bit of my natural God-given instincts told me I had a loss, but the world told me I shouldn't feel anything. Year and a half later, got pregnant again, made the same choice. And the abortions just defined me for a number of years, a lot of counseling. And finally, I reached a spiritual place where I was able to get the right kind of help. And I was set free from that. And in AA, I've been sober since 1986. Thank you, Lord. That was huge. My husband, I remarried 7 years later. We both drank alcoholically and both got sober. But we were both seeking God. So one requirement for me to remarry was I knew I wanted Jesus fully in my life. I just didn't know how to do it. So I was one of those gradual grow into that relationship. And since then, it has just been a beautiful growth process. And Karen, you know, I met you at my all-time favorite church with my all-time favorite pastor. And it was, I think, the closest thing to probably a Jesus time church of anything I'd ever belonged to. And it was when I was there that I got the help on the abortions from. I didn't know that pregnancy resource centers offer post-abortion counseling. Bible studies. And boy, it set me free. I'm so free. And then my parents, I started getting asked to speak about that. And as soon as my dad was for it immediately, my mother had to get over the social whatever. And it just took her a few years. But once she said, you know, I know God wants you to do that, and I'm okay. And my parents opened the door for me to share my experience. And, you know, and it could have been at their expense, but it's really been a blessing to so many, because that is the number one thing women don't talk about. And, you know, men don't either. Right. So that's my history. Divorce, my second husband and I were separated for a year. I love to speak about how God put all that back together. It just kind of been there and done that. Been so broke. I had like 8 cents to buy something to eat once when I was married to my first husband, and I bought a seed potato not knowing it was for planting eating. And I can remember pulling that sweet potato looking thing out of the oven and opening it up, and it was rotten, and just crying. I've been to where there's nothing. I've had cars repossessed out from under me. These are not things you'd think Zig Ziglar's daughter would experience. But because of the choices I made, yeah. But you know what? God uses it all, every bit.
He has used every bit of that. And I'm going to try not to cry today.
Okay.
But this is... This whole thing that you just said is why you have made such a difference in so many lives, including mine, because we all have our own stories and our own battles and our own wounds. But when someone like me can see someone like you has gone through this, and to see you living God's grace and God's mercy and extending that back to us, okay, I lied. I'm going to cry. It just changes everything. It gives hope, and it gives just this feeling of, you know, possibility. And I don't know why I put makeup on today. I should have known better. but anyway, it's just another reason I love you, because you are so real and you are so genuine. And, you know, God bless your mom and dad for giving you that opportunity to share, because it just reinforced exactly who they were and the realness of your entire family, because it wasn't, your dad didn't serve to serve himself. He served others, and that's who your whole family is.
Thank you.
So what, I'm going to move on. I'm not going to cry anymore.
Okay.
So y'all, this is why I love Julie. Obviously, we had this amazing relationship that has been so, so precious. Even when years have gone by that we haven't talked, we can talk again and just pick right back up. And those are the relationships that are just more precious than any amount of silver or gold. And you just inspire me so much, and always have since you, you know, came into my life and carried me through some of my tough times. And you gave me some wonderful advice, and I wanted to see if you would share that with our Rock Movers about, as women, who we are called to be, and some of this is missing in our culture now, and I think it's such a good reminder of what we should have in our lives and do for our lives.
Yeah.
Would you share that?
And yes, I will. I was told many years ago that it's very important to have friendships with women who are at least 10 years older and with women who are 10 years younger. And the reason is you need the wisdom of the women who are older, and you need to be able to feed into and support and encourage the women who are younger. And they will, I didn't tell you this, they will also help keep you younger. You know, as long as you have a wide variety of friends. My best riding buddy friend will be 80 in February, and I'm 65. So that's 15 years. And of course, anytime we have a common interest of things we can do together, age becomes zero important. And y'all all know that. But to have mentors, people who you respect, who have a faith, you know, whether if you're in business, you know, you want to take your instruction from someone who is successful, respected, and well loved. If you are working on your personal life, wisdom that women have who really know their scripture and who try to be, you know, they live to be willing, available, and obedient to God. Those are the people that you want kind of sowing God's love and wisdom into your life. But you have to make the older and the younger friends. I mean, friends our age are great. Those are the kind of the people we go play with. But we're probably about at the same scale of wisdom and knowledge. And plus, when you have younger friends, when you can't figure out your computer, you can call them. I'm just saying.
That's an extra. I mean, as things change,
it is
going to be more maybe up on the changes. That's a good point. Well, tell me, if you will, tell me a favorite memory that you have with your mom and dad, or your family, as a, you know, as a family, or with your parents.
Yes, I think there's so many, it's so hard to pick, but I believe that our family vacations to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and we didn't stop after we moved to Texas. We kept going back there, and we'd get a house on the beach. And just those times when nobody had anything that they had to do. And Dad made it. If he did any work on his books or anything, he would go do it in his room after everybody was settled, do it getting ready for bed or whatever. He just made sure he was super present during those vacations. That was always a special thing. And of course, every Thanksgiving or Christmas we spent together was super, super sweet. But the most precious time for me with just Mom and Dad happened for years, all those years I was Dad's editor. I didn't get to see him much because he was a very prolific writer. And I remember one year, in order to make our deadline, I got to finish cooking Thanksgiving meal and eat it, and then I had to disappear back into my office because I wasn't going to make the deadline. I did that too many times. Well, when Daddy had his fall downstairs and needed my help on stage, then I started going with him. For years, Daddy would say, he called me Little One. He'd say, Little One, when are you going to come spend some time with your sorry old daddy? That's what my middle sister called him. and I always called him Gita Daddy. I don't know why, but I'd say, Gita Daddy, when are you going to quit signing contracts for 3 books in 1 year? I work around the clock, and if you didn't have me so busy working, Daddy, I could come over there. And when he couldn't, when his short-term memory left, he couldn't write those books alone, so they were on me. Fortunately, I knew his voice. He always compiled folders of information for each book he was going to write, maybe for 4, 5, 6 years. So I would get the folder on the next book, and then I would compile it, and then he could read a page and approve it, but he couldn't see how it went together. But by then he trusted me. But that's when I started traveling with him, and when Mom started traveling with him. And for 4 years, every week, we go on at least 1 or 2 trips for him to speak. And I got to spend days and days and days with my mom and dad. And that for me was priceless. After all those years of not really getting to be with him, we talked several times every day. The relationship was there, saw him on Sundays, but you know, it just wasn't the same as it had been before.
Yeah. You mentioned the holidays with your family, and one of my precious memories with you and your dad was when you invited us to Thanksgiving when we had just moved to Decatur and we're going to church with y'all, or you were, I think, Jimmy's youth pastor back then.
Yeah.
My son's youth pastor, and we got to come to your house for Thanksgiving, and I don't know if it was intentional or if I just got lucky and got to sit next to your daddy. But he was just the sweetest, funniest man. And, you know, it was surreal to sit at a Thanksgiving table with your family, with Zig and your mom, Jean, and, just to see the banter, the witty banter back and forth, and the love and the harassment out of love, and for him to, you know, be sweet and but tease and pick on me too, and you know, just little humorous jabs were just so precious. And I just felt like at that moment he had a gift of making you feel like you were the only one he was talking to, and that you were so important to him. And I never forgot that he, for that moment in time, I got to have, you know, captured one-on-one attention, even though we were at a table with everybody. But I felt like I had Zig Ziglar's attention, and that taught me something so important about being present in a conversation. And he definitely had that gift, and you have that gift as well. And that's something I think is missing in our society, because we're, you know, tuned in, we're on our phones, and, you know, our minds are racing on the 10 things that we have to do. But to just settle and be present was a gift, was a true gift from your dad that I had that day. And, you know, nothing monumental was said, but it was a shift for me just to be enjoying that meal and be a part of your home and your family that day. And we were long, long ways away from family, but we felt right at home.
Yeah.
Felt like a part of your family. And that was so special for us. So.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. I'm so glad it was. And we always tried to have an open door policy at our house for Thanksgiving. And I know y'all blessed us, because you know what? You'd be surprised how many people don't feel comfortable accepting an invitation to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to intrude on your family, you know? So I was grateful y'all came.
Wow. It was a blessing. And then I got to learn how good you were as a cook. So when you took care of us and brought us food during when Jimmy or Josiah was in the hospital, yeah. I was quite looking forward to that.
I'm glad. I enjoyed it.
It was fun. It was fun. So another question. Let's see. I have so many. I'm not sure what to ask you. I know. If you could talk to your younger self, what would you tell her?
I would tell her, I think I would tell her not to be so hard on herself and to ask for help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that something we wish we all could do? Because we're all just, even today, probably we're our own worst enemies at times, or worst critics even. That's a good, so young ladies that are listening to this, don't be so hard on yourself. Give yourself some grace.
And ask for help.
And ask,
For help.
And take help. Don't be proud.
Yeah, right.
When people offer, they need to take it. Because that's probably one of my worst attributes, is I don't ask for help, and when somebody offers, I'm like, no, I'm fine. And then I'm mad that I didn't accept their help because I really could use it.
Mm-hmm. And that's why having an older friend is really important, because for some reason, older women have already learned to hold other people's private stuff better. And you can trust them that because most of the stuff we need help with is stuff we don't want to admit we have a problem with. And you need to have somebody in your life who you know is a great confidant, and who can help you through and lead you to the right places. And you got to ask for help, though. I could have had help years ago if I had been willing to talk to more people about what was really going on.
Yeah, gosh, that's such a good point. Yeah. Such a good point. So you've accomplished so many things over your life and had so many amazing experiences. What do you feel like is your best achievement or your most proudest accomplishment? I'm having trouble getting things out this morning, but what are you most proud of? Other than your kids.
I am most, yeah. Yeah, I am most proud of the fact that I got to a place where I forgave me, I came to appreciate me as a person. And the moment I was set free, because the abortions were really the last major shame, I don't deserve life, I don't deserve anything. Once I understood the totality of God's love for me and his total forgiveness, once I was set free from that, what I'm proudest of is that I really have, God has enabled me to not step back into that place where I couldn't love me anywhere close to, well, I probably never will, to the way he did, but to understand that I am so totally loved that, you know, that I'm not going to lose the relationship I have with Christ. But because I'm totally free, I no longer worry about what other people think about me. I try and be respectful of other people and their needs and desires. I'm going to tell y'all, I went and changed shirts, tops, when I saw how beautiful Karen looked this morning. Not because I didn't want her to outshine me, but because I wanted to be a compliment to what she was already presenting, which is very professional. And y'all, I've just worked at home too long and COVID really made me casual. But I think what I'm proudest of is that I was finally able to accept me for who God made me to be. And also what I did, Karen, is when our pastor challenged us to be available to God, to be willing to do what he put in front of us and to be obedient to do it. When he did that and I started living my life that way, everything changed, because I'm not, every opportunity that comes before me, I say, God has put in front of me, and I'm to go and do this, or am I to go and do this? Because, you know, there are people in our world who would have us do everything for them and do nothing themselves. But God puts it in front of you. If you move forward and it's what he has for you, it's going to work out. And if you move forward in the same way, when the disciples were going and telling about Jesus, sometimes they would say, well, it seemed right to move on. I've heard preachers and other people say, don't do anything till you've heard a word from God. But the disciples didn't do that. They would go to the next city knowing that if it wasn't where God wanted them, they would be redirected once they got there. But the thing was, they kept moving. They kept moving until they were redirected. And you can trust that if you'll do the thing that's in front of you after praying about it, then you'll be blessed. And the other thing our pastor taught us that has been huge in my life is, if you start a ministry, or say, let's even say you start a podcast, and then the time comes where you just don't feel it in your heart to do it anymore, that means that season for that is past. You don't have to find somebody else to do your ministry. You don't have to find somebody else to do your podcast. You have done what was put before you. You were obedient to do it. And now that time is past and there's something else for you. Things don't have to go on forever just because you started them, business-wise or ministry-wise.
Yeah, that we have seasons.
Yes, we have very distinct seasons.
Yeah, that was something that stuck with me as well from Pastor Jean, and just to walk in fullness in that season and fully embrace that season. But don't be afraid to let a season go. Don't be too proud to let a season go.
Right. She said it well.
And you reminded me of something you always told me, is just do the next right thing.
Yes.
You don't have to figure everything out. Just do the next right thing. That's such a good reminder. So thank you for that again today. I need to get that tattooed on my forehead. but on my computer, maybe that needs to work. You have so many inspirational people that you've met, but who's inspiring you now in this season of your life? I mean, you're Zig Ziglar's daughter. Yeah. You could name nobody else, but you're in the new season.
Well, I am in a new season, and the people who inspire me, there's a group of 12 of us who meet one Sunday a month, and they're all speakers. Most of them have been past president of the National Speakers Association, and I still can't believe I'm even a part of this prayer Bible group, but it's a time where we come together and each person takes a month, and that month they pick the topic. And this month, well, next Sunday morning, we're going to discuss a book that the person who's in charge sent us called Stay Salt, and it's about evangelism and sharing the word of Christ. And the name of our group is a Salt and Light group. And it's because as public speakers, we have a platform, and we have a responsibility to be salt, and that's what we're asked to do. And Karen, is the salt that I think fascinated you the most about me is I'm willing to be a little salty to shine the light, but it's because the truth is the truth, and you don't have fear when you're sharing the truth. But yeah, that whole group of people are, most of them are, well, I'm one of the younger ones. There's one or two younger than me, but most of them are older, and they were very good personal friends of my father. So to sit under them once a month and hear what they've gotten out of the scriptures is just a blessing. So I would say all 11 of those people are the ones who influenced me the most. And they're all really well respected in that. I feel such a baby speaker compared to all of them, and I am. And I know full well I was invited because I'm daddy's daughter, and that's okay. I have learned to accept that too, that it's okay to have a name that can open some doors. It's what he left me. What the legacy of his reputation has done more for me. That's the true gift my father gave me, was it the name. It's a door opener. So, yeah.
He definitely earned that reputation, for sure.
Yes, he did.
And I didn't realize you were part of that group. What an amazing blessing, and what a great opportunity. I just want to be a little mouse in your pocket and listen to all the things that are being said in that.
Come see me, spend the night. Well, you can come once a month, and they'll let you. Anytime somebody has a guest with them, they just join in with us while they're there.
Okay, we're definitely going to talk about that. That would be amazing.
Okay.
So I want to kind of start wrapping this up. I could talk to you forever, but I know we can only record so long. And I appreciate you taking time. I know you're caring for your grandkids now, your grandsons, and helping Amy and Nathan, and they've got some new adventures for their ministry, and just congratulations to Amy for going back to nursing school, and
yeah.
I know that y'all are still doing some of the Ziegler Women stuff as things will transition out of COVID, but
yes.
What, I guess, as a parting word, what could you advise someone like me that's just getting started, or someone that's, you know, going into speaking? I know that your journey was very different because you did come from your dad's platform and assisted through those opportunities, but you also know, you know, getting up there on the stage, speaking for the first time, and those experiences. So what can you share with people like me on how we can be authentic, but also...
Okay.
You know, be impactful, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Okay. I think the most important thing, I'm going to share with you what Dad would tell anybody just ask that question. And the first thing is Toastmasters is the place to be, because they, the people there, it has to be encouraging. They're not allowed to tear you to pieces, so you don't need to be afraid. But it does help you, they help you learn how to design your talks so that they flow with a distinct thing. You can have wonderful stories, but if you don't make points that people can use in their life and apply, if you can't give enough information for people to have some aha moments, your reputation won't grow. Daddy said, you know, a lot of people talk about all the stuff you should do, but they don't tell you how to do it. So you got to tell people how to do the thing that you're suggesting that they do. That's why people loved him, because he would say, if you want to change, you are who you are and where you are because you because of what you put into your mind. You can change who you are and where you are by changing what you put into your mind. So I would say just put all the positive stuff, be a lifelong learner. Daddy used to call it Automobile University. And you can listen to podcasts like this, amazing, helpful, constructive, growing information. Dad also said, why is it that people who want to waste time want to waste it with you? You know, that's an office thing, like they used to call it when you go to the water cooler and you get trapped in a conversation. Yeah. Just be very conscientious about your time, where you spend it and where you allow it to go. So that's important, but I would say the most important thing is just to know that when you're going to speak for somebody, you're probably going to speak for free. Daddy spoke for free at least 3,000 times before he got paid the first time. Today, speakers are much more accepted. Back then, there weren't many people even knew they could use a speaker when he started. But just be out front. Pick your brand, decide what your focus is going to be, and then develop that. Networking is super important because we love to refer each other. We're not in competition. We're not all suited for the same kind of engagements. And here's something I do. Give yourself a graduated scale that you charge, because if you're speaking for churches or nonprofits, you want to have a little different scale. And what I do, even professionally, if it's a small organization, I have a $3,500 deal for nonprofits if it's less than 200 people. And then it goes up incrementally. But if it's an association or if it's, and I have a list of different things, it's always going to be over $7,500 to $12,000. If you jump across the pond, as they call it, and you fly overseas, then you're talking 20,000. You're talking a whole week that you've got to go for maybe one hour. But you just need to be flexible. But because I have definitely a graduated scale, when people talk about, well, we had Julie Ziegler, she spoke for us, and somebody says, well, we did too, and what'd she charge you? And they say $7,500, and they say, well, she just charged us $35. The difference is this was a corporation and that was a ministry. Mm-hmm. And that these people had 500 people and they only had 150. So that way people can't say, well, why did you do this or that? And that is a question that will come up. Yeah. So define your prices. Okay.
Great advice. Writing this down. Okay. Well, I know I could tap into all kind of questions and just try to suck all the wisdom and advice out, but you have horses to take care of and grandbabies to take care of. And I just want to be really respectful of your time. So thank you again for coming, for moving rocks in my life, okay. Big rocks, huge monumental rocks at times. But just for loving me the way that you always have and for allowing me to love you back and get to be a part of your journey in a tiny, tiny way. I don't even know how to end this because I don't want it to end, but thank you. Thank you for being a part
You're
of this.
Welcome.
You have been amazing my entire life that I've known you, and I just can't enough. So this is going to go on Friday this week.
Okay.
And I post it on Facebook, and I call it Fan Friday. And I hope that you've always known that I am Julie Ziegler Norman's fan.
Thank you, Karen. I do. And you know, I've always loved you and your whole entire family, and always will. That's never, never, ever going to change. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in the months ahead as you make plans to make the moves you need to move. So I just love you, and I appreciate that you're helping all these gals move right ahead, and I'm happy to help.
Well, I'm trying to carry on your legacy and paying it forward. So thank you again, and we're going to say goodbye for now.
All right.